Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. My young friend, the Reverend Dr. Irwin Lutzer, joins me. Dr. Lutzer, the pastor emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago. You can hear him on Moody Radio. He's the author of several highly acclaimed books, including The Church in Babylon, We Will Not Be Silenced, and When a Nation Forgets God. Dr. Lutzer, we've gone from When a Nation Forgets God to one of your latest books, The Eclipse of God, Our Nation's Disastrous Search for a More Inclusive Deity. How did we get here?
Well, Monty, how much time do you have? Do you have a day or two?
Yeah.
One of the things that I do in this book, first of all, let me talk about the word eclipse. When there's an eclipse of the sun, it's because the moon comes between the sun and the earth. But the sun is unaffected. And what we're experiencing in America is the moon of secularism has hidden the face of God. Israel had a similar experience. Isaiah 59, verse 1, your sins have cut me off from you, and I have hidden my face from you. So we have to remember that that's what's happening. So darkness is in the land, and the darkness is increasing. But what I do in the book is, my first purpose is actually to show the intellectual roots of the darkness. Though the book is a very practical one, every chapter ends with an action step. But I wanted people to understand the influence of philosophers. You know, Nietzsche proclaimed the death of God. And then he said, we can hear the noise of the grave diggers who have buried God. I looked at that. Now, he died in the year 1900. He wrote at the end of the 1800s. I said, who might he be referring to? Well, three names came immediately to mind. One was Karl Marx, of course, that he would have known very well. That is to say, certainly the writings of Marx. Karl Marx and that influence, I mean, we've talked about that many times, but I could go on and on about cultural Marxism and how that's infiltrated our country. But Monty, I want to refer to a second grave digger, and that is Darwin. I couldn't believe until I studied it the great impact, the negative impact, that Darwin has had on society. Think of it this way. In my book, and we're talking about the eclipse of God, in this book, I quote Darwin as saying, the baboon is our grandfather. In other words, we came up through the animal world. Now, I want everyone listening to take a deep breath. If the baboon is our grandfather, if we are only animals on a continuum with animals, a little bit more highly developed, we have no argument against abortion, euthanasia. We have no argument against such things as infanticide. Why? We do that with animals. An animal is sick and we put it to sleep. An animal is born with disabilities. We are animals. Now, this is fascinating because when the animal rights movement wants to elevate animals to the level of human beings, it actually brings man down to the level of animals. The implications of this are absolutely huge. And we could go on and discuss them. But the other gravedigger, very quickly, I think, is Freud. Freud believed that sexuality and experiencing sexuality was the highest amount of happiness. So if we could say that Marx attacked God as ruler, Darwin attacked him as creator, certainly it is true that Freud attacked him as lawgiver. Because Freud said there should be no restrictions on sexuality. And I show how this even opens the door to pedophilia. And so, from those philosophers and experiences, I draw some powerful lessons for the church today.
The normalization of pedophilia, and our kids are being sexualized in our government taxpayer-funded schools, so it comes out of Freud.
Absolutely, that's one of the streams. And when it comes to sexuality, people are always anxious to get rid of rules because, you know, the desires are strong. The desires are very important and very strong. And so if you can get out of the biblical norms and the lie is, and you experience various sexual experiences, it'll be very fulfilling. But you and I know how badly that ends. And with regard to children, I predict in the book that pedophilia will be the next barrier to fall. And the reason is because Freud opened the door for that. You have Kinsey, of course, in the 1940s, doing things even to babies that I wouldn't even mention publicly. So here's the point. When you have a nation that no longer wants to obey the created order of God's creation, man and woman, you end up with men being able to have babies. You end up with pedophilia because there are no universal restrictions against these things. This is absolutely critical. People need to understand it, and it is influencing American culture, and we had better learn from the past.
Are we headed toward plural marriage? Is that the next thing too?
Yes, of course. And already there was an article in USA Today recently about it, and it just said that we'd better get used to that because, again, Marx hated the created order. Darwin hated the created order. So did Freud. So once you have a rejection of God as creator, society can go in any direction that it wants, and it doesn't have any stopping points.
You talk about in the eclipse of God that we've created a sin-friendly God. And I'm thinking of a lot of our liberal churches. They embrace abortion, same-sex marriage. They're okay with surgeries on children to change their sex. And we know that's wrong. That's extreme. But what's happening in our evangelical and our conservative churches? How are we making God more tolerant and inclusive and sin-friendly?
Well, thank you for pointing that out, because that's a big thing that I emphasize in the book. Americans don't mind saying they believe in God just as long as they are God. And there are two doctrines that destroy the church. One is the essential goodness of man, and the other is the existence of a non-judgmental deity. But let's talk about our churches. Let's talk about even evangelical churches. What we have today is an imbalance. You have many sermons on the love of God and the acceptance of God, and that is very important. But I need to very quickly add a paragraph to that. Love can be evil. You know, today, love is love. Oh, really? Love can be evil. As a matter of fact, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things. Lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of self. So love is love. Herein is love, that you keep my commandments. So, but there's this imbalance. You know, the last chapter in my book is returning to the God of wrath and grace, not the God of unconditional love. Because the idea that God loves everyone unconditionally, no matter what they do, cannot be shown from Scripture. I like to ask people, when is the last time you heard a sermon on the wrath of God? And of course, we don't go there, but twice at Moody Church, I was pastor there for 36 years. Only twice did I preach on the doctrine of hell. And I can tell you, I could scarcely sleep the night before because what I was saying was just beyond my ability to think and to grasp. But that's the God with whom we have to deal. And then the good news is we flee to Christ. The Bible says he's the one who keeps us from the wrath to come. So what you have today is salvation by, well, I think I need God. And so there may be those who are genuinely saved, those who aren't. Ultimately, God makes the decision because he's the only one that knows the heart. But if you were to ask me, as you have done, what's wrong with the evangelical churches, I have to say this, and I may be guilty of this too, but we have lots of people who are never convicted of their sins. I remember as a boy, 14, out in the farm. I hadn't done anything greatly wrong. I was a good boy. But I remember being so convicted of sin that I was desperate to get saved. And what we have today is people getting saved who have no conviction of sin. And if I might put it very clearly, grace is not sweet until sin is bitter. So we have to get back to a balanced view of God. And speaking of a balanced view of God, there was an article in The Economist some time ago that said that, nobody believes in the Smitey Almighty of the Old Testament, the God who smote the Egyptians, the God who smote Sodom and Gomorrah. So one of the chapters in my book is, can we still believe in the Smitey Almighty? And I discuss the flood, the killing of the Canaanites, stoning in the Old Testament. And then one of the longest chapters in the book is God more tolerant than he used to be? Because we don't see that in the New Testament. And I show absolutely not. I am the Lord, I change not, and I show how that the judgments of the New Testament, because we have more light, are even greater than anything in the Old Testament. In the evangelical churches today, you don't hear the urgency of a wrathful God who is going to judge the world in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be separated with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. You don't hear that. And if we heard more of that, and then on the other side, preached grace and the wonder of God's grace, I think it might make a difference, but we have domesticated God. We have created him in an image that we can live with.
On the other hand, I will say that there are pastors who would say, you know, I'd like to preach that, but if I do, I'm going to lose so many people in the pews that need to hear the gospel.
Well, as a pastor, I feel that tension, but I want to say this to all the pastors listening. How you preach this depends upon your attitude. If you preach about the justice and the wrath of God with brokenness and humility, I think people will accept that. But if you're judgmental, if you are just out there spraying the congregation with judgment, you're right, they will leave. You know, years ago when Massachusetts, which was the first state to begin same-sex marriage, I preached two sermons on it at Moody Church. But I believe that God gave me the ability to preach with brokenness and compassion. And I remember some who struggled with same-sex attraction later, and they said, we don't agree with you, but we appreciate the attitude with which you preached. So I say to pastors out there, don't come across as judgmental. You know, that you're on this perch and you're just condemning everybody and you're condemning everything. Preach with your own brokenness and your own humility. And be convicted of your own sin. And then, I think when you preach, people will listen to you.
Let's take a time out and continue our conversation with the Reverend Dr. Erwin Lutzer after this. The Great COVID Con, an Illinois Family Institute forum. What went wrong and why? 7 p.m. Friday, October 18th at Families of Faith Church, Shanahan. To RSVP, call 708-781-9328.
Medicine very often is not being scientific. Turns out when we're scientific, things go well.
Join IFI, Dr. William Crevier, and Dr. Mark Zumhagen on how to keep the Great COVID Con from happening again.
Big Pharma has its own agenda. It's not giving us science, and it's not giving us the truth.
The Great COVID Con, a special Illinois Family Institute forum, 7 p.m. Friday, October 18th at Families of Faith Church, Shanahan. To RSVP, call 708-781-9328, 708-781-9328. Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Before we continue our conversation with the Reverend Dr. Erwin Lutzer, let's listen to what he had to share during the Illinois Family Institute's 2024 Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet.
I want to say this, that I just deeply appreciate the ministry and the work of the Illinois Family Institute. Whenever I hear about things that are going on in Springfield and elsewhere in our great state of Illinois, I always say to myself, I'm so glad that we have a voice that is representing us in issues that really do matter. Now, there are some people who say that politics doesn't matter. Well, to them, I would like to ask this question. Is there a First Baptist Church in North Korea? I don't think so. Politics matters. Of course, it does not ultimately matter. It's the gospel that ultimately matters. But the reason that politics is important is so that we can have the freedom to preach the gospel. And what we need to do is to recognize that America, with all of its faults, there's no nation on this planet that has spread the gospel of Christ around the world through
thousands and thousands of missionaries and millions of dollars. So in the midst of all of the problems and our insecurities as a nation and the polarization, America is still worth saving.
The Reverend Dr. Erwin Lutzer, during the Illinois Family Institute's 2024 Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet. Let's continue our conversation with him about his book, The Eclipse of God. You say in The Eclipse of God that if we don't turn away from the direction we're headed, our nation is headed for disaster.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we'll continue to disintegrate. You know, Monty, you and I are old enough, and thank you for introducing me as my young friend, I think you said. You know, the good thing about old age is it doesn't last very long, you know. So here's the point. You and I have lived long enough to be able to say this. We could have never predicted the changes that happened in the last 15 years.
No.
Never predicted. So what's going to happen? There is going to be a further disintegration of culture. What you had even in the past when it came to abortion was some kind of saying, you know, it's a tragedy that has to happen, yada, yada, but, you know, it should happen early in the pregnancy and so forth. And you and I would disagree with that totally, but that's what was generally believed. Today, no restrictions.
Right.
None.
Used to be safe, legal, and rare.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I think, President Clinton's Clinton, yeah. way to describe it. And so what you're going to have is an increase in that. You're going to continue to have the breakup of the family. Marx, of course, was very much in favor of the breakup of the family because to him the family was a unit of oppression. Men oppressed their wives, parents oppressed their children. They took them to church, and God was the ultimate oppressor. So if you get rid of God, if you get rid of all oppression, all families, everybody's going to live together with harmony, and everything is going to be fine, and we're going to have equality, and people are going to wake up in the morning excited to work for the state. And so you have all these freeloaders who sleep in, but they'll get paid the same amount, and it becomes a paradise for parasites.
We just have a couple more minutes, but I'd like to ask you a couple other questions. Two scenarios. First scenario is Kamala Harris is elected president of the United States. How should Christians respond?
Well, first of all, with a lot of prayer, no matter who gets elected. But here's the thing that Christians have to do. In a disintegrating culture, Monty, every Christian listening to this interview has to ask his or herself this question. Where do I draw the line? And that might be different for the woman who is at home with children, many of them may be homeschooling or not homeschooling, her answer is different than the businessman who sends me a text, who says, if I agree to this statement, I have to agree to this statement to keep my job. Am I compromising if I say that I'm not going to accept multiple pronouns? For him, that's a different question now. Does he have a line in the sand? Does he say, here's where the line is. I can't be a hypocrite and lie and pretend that I don't know better. Or is he going to say I have to feed my family? Monty, I've been in different countries of the world. Those kinds of decisions have always been made in communist countries, in Nazi Germany. The question is loyalty to Christ more important even than my job? I mean, we're talking about huge things. So in answer to your question, if she's elected, or for that matter, if Trump is, remember this, there are undercurrents in this culture which aren't going to stop no matter who gets elected. Christians are going to have to face up and ask that question, what does God want me to do and what does faithfulness look like in my situation?
The book is The Eclipse of God. Where do people pick it up?
They can go to Amazon, of course, christianbook.com. Not Christian books, but christianbook.com always has a great sale on books, and I hope they have a copy. But, Monty, you wanted a second scenario, you said.
What if Donald Trump is elected president?
Well, we have to do the same thing. Because, let's remember, we have problems, spiritual and moral, in this country that no politician will ever be able to solve. That's where the church comes in, shining the light of the gospel, putting the cross of Christ above a political party and preaching Christ and the gospel. That's our privilege and that's our responsibility no matter who gets elected.
Why is Illinois worth fighting for? We've got abortion on demand here, high taxes, lots of crime, failing schools. Why, from a Christian perspective, is Illinois worth fighting for?
We don't have to win, but we do have to be faithful. And the work that the Illinois Family Institute is doing, I'll tell you, I praise God for what you're doing. And the reason for that is we need people to represent us in government. But even if we don't win, we have to have the voice and we have to become the conscience of the government and of the leadership. And Bonhoeffer said, if that doesn't work, then you also have to go into direct involvement and finally put spokes in the wheel. Now, that's farther down the line than you and I would want to go. But the point is, the church has to be an island of righteousness in a sea of paganism. It has to be a safe place where people can come to. And that's why the church, incredibly important, even in Illinois.
All right. Well, the book is The Eclipse of God. I highly recommend it. Thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Erwin Lutzer.
Thank you.
God bless you.
And God bless you.
Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. Stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
Thank you.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.